Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Baselli.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Baselli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Baselli.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Go, welcome. Did I jump you there?
Can you start talking after he gets done talking, please?
No, he should stop talking when I start talking. Hi, Bill. How are you? So here we go. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. We've got a cast of characters in here this evening, some that want to be named, others that don't. So we'll introduce you to those that do. Jeff Lagerman's across the table. Tony Baselli is here wearing a sharp sports coat. John Osher dumped the nice blue sweatshirt.
And right. Showed up on time.
I don't want to be
showed up on time.
Why?
He's got a jacket on. I mean, come on, Osh.
It's the first time you've been on
time. Just another day at the office.
Yeah.
Not only was he on time, he was early. That's a first.
Joe Fortunato has his microphone turned on because he wants to jump in on this as well. And the reason why everyone looks so dapper is that we're expecting Shad Khan to join us.
I'm not dapper.
Oh, really? I'm dapper because it's cold and I was... Never mind.
We just had a lively discussion.
Brian's got a sweater vest on, and Osher and Baselli got sport coats on, and I got boots on. What's up with this?
I've worn a sport coat like 10 times this year, off and on.
Yeah, but usually when you have one on, you come in, your shirt's untucked, and you don't have the jacket on anymore.
Untuck your shirt, Baselli, just so everyone knows. Let it out. You're a rebel.
That's better.
We just saw the Baselli belly, ladies and gentlemen.
We really need...
It's made its first appearance on this show.
This needs to be on online, seriously.
It really does. You know... Bill, we need cameras in the studio because the Baselli belly just made its... Yeah, it does. Absolutely, it does.
Yeah, so people could see how you all dress.
Tony's getting naked.
I've got a mustard yellow shirt on.
Is this better, Jeff? Do you feel better now?
I feel much better.
See the pressure that you can
exert on somebody to look like me.
I'll dress down for you.
You know, speaking of Mr. Khan, you can welcome him and hear directly from him at a special Jaguars Ready to Rise Fans Meet the Khans rally. That's the South End Zone here at Everbank Field on Tuesday, January 17th, or 2 weeks from yesterday, 6 o'clock in the evening. It's free. Open to all Jaguars fans. Gates open at 5:30. Parking is free. $2 beers and reduced price concessions available in the Bud Light Party Zone. Say it again, Loggy.
$2 beers.
So just for that, come, and then the chance to meet the new owner.
That's pretty good. Are they bottled? No, not bottles, right? Cans?
Draft.
A brown, $2 draft beers.
Or the brown plastic bottles. Laugh.
Can you bring your own cup? I'll bring one of these.
Yeah. Are they bottled?
So there you go. Until Mr. Khan arrives, what's on your mind?
The changing, you know, the guard, you know, this week. It was, you know, and I said this to you Monday night, you know, it was kind of fitting the weather that we had, and that Sunday was just a gorgeous day. You know, the last game for the Weavers, and then Monday morning I wake up, and I wasn't trying to sound poetic, but I guess it felt it.
Yeah.
And that Monday I wake up, and it's termed Black Monday by a lot of folks because of all the change that usually happens in the National Football League. Well, I wake up Monday morning, and the wind is blowing. I mean, it's blowing coming out of the west. And
strong winds.
And I'm first thing I'm thinking of, the winds of change are blowing, and not only here, but also in the National Football
League.
That's
deep.
What Monday, it's kind of deep. And it's a little too deep for you,
deep.
But I get
keep
it.
Keep going, Logs.
But, I mean, that's really what was happening this week. I mean, around the league,
you bet.
I mean, five openings in the National Football League. You know, you got a change of ownerships here today. And, you know, I think there's a lot of anticipation, you know, to what happens next for this team. You know, because right now, I think you kind of want to be ahead of the curve, so to speak, as far as getting your coach. Because the one who gets, I guess you could say, the pick of the litter and gets it quick can assemble the talent around that coach.
Yeah, because it's not just the head coach, it's the staff. And I think that's what most people focus on, who the head coach is going to be.
Right.
And to Jeff's point, you want to get that done because then you got to go get the guys who are going to be on the staff. And you're limited there because the way the contracts work in the NFL, a lot of – teams will not allow assistant coaches to make lateral moves.
And that's maybe more important.
At the end of the day, you could make an argument that your assistant coaches are as or more important than who the head coach is.
Well, you got all three teams in Florida, both teams in Missouri. There's one more team. There's six right now. What am I forgetting?
No, five.
Is it five?
It's five, okay. And then you got Bill Polian in Indianapolis.
It's Bill Polian, exactly. So it could be six.
There were six changes with teams, but five head coaching openings right now.
Caldwell still might be let go. I think they're waiting for the new GM to make that decision.
Well, you would think he would be with the new GM coming.
And you can see, I mean, you're already starting to see Jeff Fisher's name is popping all over the place. There's a laundry list of candidates they're talking about in Kansas City today and Tampa tomorrow, and so it won't be long. And obviously the conversation is starting to take place here in Jacksonville, and we welcome in the Jaguars' new owner, Mr. Khan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you.
There we go. Now we got you on.
Okay, great. I'm doing great. Thank you.
So, did they give you a receipt for the transaction today?
I'd want one.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I did have to break some piggy banks this morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you very
a big
much.
Day.
Thank you. Yes, it's a great feeling. The check cleared. So here I am 4 hours later, after I've checked in.
Was the obviously it's gone through different stages when it was first announced, the finance committee, the owners approving of it, now the actual closing. Different emotions? Was this kind of the final, we're there, and now it's time to, it's kind of like when you get the car and you get behind the wheel, this baby's mine now, let's drive this thing?
Yes. Tony, but I think this is something, I've been working on for maybe 5 years. And when it was announced, I think between Wayne, the league, myself, it was really, this was quite different, unprecedented, that you go from announcement to approval in 15 days. And then the quick closing we've had right after that. So I had gone through a trial run, so this is where, yes, I mean, you've had your license, you've got all the license, the keys, you're waiting really to get in. So here we are.
Has your head stopped spinning yet? I mean, with all that's had to happen in such a short amount of time?
No, I think maybe it isn't because I'm in Jacksonville, and really, quite frankly, I mean, I've been overwhelmed with the beauty here, and been here the last 8 days, and I heard you talking about the coaching search. Obviously, we're working on that, and you hate to leave town, frankly.
I asked Mr. Weaver last week because I think you said that you weren't going to move down here and this wasn't going to be your primary residence. I said, how long do you think it will be before he does? He goes, it's intoxicating. To be around, you've got that car now, and you do, as you mentioned, you want to drive it. But the NFL, and it's just, it's so big and so pervasive in our culture, it's a very difficult thing to walk away from, as he found out today, I'm sure.
It is, and really you have emotional investment, which is probably even more than the money investment. And with that really comes a responsibility to do well on the field and off the field. So it's quite a load, and I think the Weavers, I mean, they have huge, really, shoes to fill for us.
For the last couple of weeks, obviously things have been going at a very fast pace. But I would have to think that now that this day has come, things are even going to get faster. There's five openings in the National Football League, and you had said that the most important thing going forward is going to be hiring a head coach. Do you hit the ground running right away? Because we before you walked in, we were talking about the quicker you get your man, the faster he can get his guys into place as far as the staff, and he can assemble the most talented staff or those are available.
That's absolutely true. So, we have our first 25 plays, and we're executing those. And we started executing them really right after the money changed hands.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. We've got a lot to talk about, and Mr. Khan is with us this evening on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Let's step aside, take our first break of the evening. When we return, more conversation focused on the future of the Jaguars, which began today. And we're back after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations, folks, Stein Mart offers you more fashion at less price. You can call us, 355-NFL-1. You can tweet us, at Tony Boselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. Not yet, huh?
Give me a call.
All right, there you go. and lots of tweets, Mr. Khan here in particular. There's lots of websites these days, and one called NFL Spin Zone says, you're talking to Bill Cowher. And so I've got 10 tweets asking, is this true? Are you talking to Bill Cowher about being your coach? NFL Spin Zone now.
Well, regrettably, you know, we can't confirm anybody or who we're talking to, and I think you have to protect the integrity of the search. Some of those, like the assistant coaches, you have to file the paperwork, it becomes public. But I think I would be doing a disservice, really, to Jaguar fans talking about it.
Sure.
And obviously doing a huge disservice to the people we're talking to. So we've been, I can share this with you, I've been really amazed with how many people have called us or contacted Gene and myself who have an interest in the position. So the Jaguars as organization, the players, the city is very highly thought of. And there's a huge amount of interest. Our goal is to, you know, prioritize them, talk to them, and, you know, move very, very quickly through all of that. So one thing you won't be able to say is we didn't cast a wide enough net. Because I feel the most important thing, you know, I can contribute, certainly for the next 2-3 years, is to get this right, get this absolutely right, get the right person who, not only for the Jaguars, but really for Jacksonville, the community who will connect and help us really get soul into the teams, some Jacksonville soul into the Jaguars.
You know, there were a lot of national media reports when jobs came open, when the one in Miami and the one in Kansas City, and they were starting ranking the jobs, and everyone put Jacksonville at the bottom of the list. And maybe it was because of the record this season or because they think of it as a low revenue franchise. What you're saying then is that's not the case.
Absolutely not.
What is, without obviously getting into the names that we just talked about, what, if you were to list 2, 3, 4 parameters that you are looking for as you sit down with different individuals and as you make this big decision, as you've said, probably the biggest decision in the near future that needs to be made, what are you looking for in a head coach?
First of all, chemistry. Chemistry with me, with Gene, really the whole organization. That person has to connect. We don't want an egomaniac who's going to come in, you know, with their system and basically would be cleaning up the mess 3 years from now. So they have to connect, they have to be a winner, and they have to engage in the community. Those are really the three key things, I mean, we're going to look for.
As you, and as you do that evaluation, obviously all the success that you've had in the business world and building your business, how much of a carryover do you think it is as you evaluate in building the team concept and building the right culture to allow this place to have the most success it possibly can?
This is a people business. Really, any business is a people business. So I think there are a huge amount of commonalities. I, before this, you know, today I probably knew a dozen coaches, mostly socially. At St. Louis, I knew the coaches, obviously I'd met them. So for me, this is like some benchmarking on people in real life I work with, how really they stack up, how they think, what the thought process is. And we've gone through really a revolution as to what is the right kind of a person. You can be more effective. How do you motivate people? We're talking about young men with high net worth. And so it's a little bit different than even college coaching, obviously. But those are really the three things we're looking for. And I think I've said this before. To me, this is not about money. You want to pay people a fair wage. This is about finding the right person.
You had mentioned before we came back on the air, I'd asked you if you were able to find a place to live yet here in Jacksonville. You said just not high on my priority list. Coach obviously would be number one. What else would you put up as being high on the list of things to do with this franchise going forward after you name a head coach?
I think we have to, the business aspect of this organization, we have to look at and get it where it is functioning. Not have any chimneys, but pretty much a flat, one well-run organization that is, again, going to connect with the community. And obviously, there is a business aspect. The tickets, I think, is absolutely vital, and not only for money. I think it's money secondary. Most important thing is to get the 12th person in the stands, to have a feeling. have the energy in the stadium where they're going to be helping our team, our players win. That's probably the most important thing.
What's the most exciting thing that you look forward to? Of all the things that are kind of on the plate of things to do, what's the one you most anticipate?
I think the most exciting thing is going to be, the upcoming season. We have absolutely a great schedule. If you look at it, it's a bunch of marquee teams, a bunch of teams that have done very well this year. So from one viewpoint, it is a very hard schedule coming up.
You bet.
But the flip side of that is, I haven't seen the exact dates, but, the Bears are going to be here. New England will be here. Jets. Detroit. It is, that's the exciting thing. You look forward to it, and you look forward to winning. That certainly is our expectation.
You've asked a lot of questions since, taking over owner, or, since the sale was announced. What have you learned in sort of your research, in talking to all the people that you've talked to about this? What's been the thing that sort of struck you that people have told you about what's important?
I think Jaguars are very important to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I've learned. The other thing I've learned, we, being the Jaguars, can do a better job. I think connecting with the community and really asking for their support on a more of a win-win basis.
How active will you be involved once the coaching search is concluded and free agency starts? Because that's, as far as the league calendar goes, that's kind of the next big step, and a lot of people are wanting to know, how active will the Jaguars be in free agency? Will they be aggressive financially? Any thoughts on direction once you get to that stage of the league calendar?
We have a coach. We're going to identify where our weaknesses are, and if we need free agency to fill those, and I'm sure there will be some of those, we're going to participate in those. We have a salary cap, but our goal will be to put out the best competitive team out there.
Of all the owners that you've had to meet in the process, starting all the way back to when you first became interested in buying a stake in ownership around the National Football League, is there an owner that you met kind of through the process that you said, that's kind of how I want to run an organization once I get it? For example, a lot of people look at Pittsburgh, they look at New England, and the way that they have built their teams through the draft and the way the team and the actual organization runs smoothly. Is there a team or an owner that you want to model this organization after?
This is the greatest sports league in the world. One of the reasons it's the greatest sports league is the owners, and I think you can exclude me. Each one of the owners has attributes, qualities, excellent attributes and qualities that's contributed to the league. So every one of those I have certainly learned something from. But I'm not here to say we need to be like so-and-so. I'm here to say we're going to be excellent, we're going to relate to Jacksonville, we're going to win, and frankly, we're going to have our own personality. I'm not here to copy anybody or any franchise, but to take really what the best principles are and convert those into the Jaguars.
All right, we've hit the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Which is what Joe was gesturing for. We need to take news from our friends over at News Talk WOKV. We're back. Another 30 minutes of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. Our second half hour now live from Everbank Field. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Tony Buscelli, and new Jaguars owner Mr. Khan. And we've talked a lot about football. And the coach and the coaching search. Are you splitting your time? Are you starting to work on the ticketing side of things now, or will that come after you get the coach in place?
I think it'll come after that, because the coaching search takes undivided attention, frankly. Okay. And so that's what I'm focused on. But right after that, we're going to be looking at the business side.
You talked about having a script, 25 plays,
yeah,
with respect to the coaching search. Do you have the same thing in mind for the ticketing side? You talked about making it the toughest ticket in town, and obviously a lot of that's on the field. But do you have a script ready for the ticketing side?
Yes, that's the 100 plays.
Yeah.
You talked a lot about the business side, talked about the coaching side. One of the things I think we all learned early after it was announced that you were buying the team, that you're not only businessman and buying the team, but a huge football fan from the time when you moved over to this country, started going to the University of Illinois. You talked about sitting in the frat room basement and watching football. And so talk a little bit about, obviously we're going to have a coach, but what kind of style do you like, Mr. Connell? What style of football and what kind of style of football do you want to bring, besides just winning, but just as a fan's perspective?
Well, fan's perspective, I think it happens to be, I mean, today the exciting football is also the winning football, which is you have to be able to pass the ball. And, I mean, this is a quarterback league, and the quarterback is the CEO of the organization. So, you know, the Ohio State, the Illinois, or, you know, Michigan type of football, even they pass the ball now quite a bit. So it's so wonderful. We have absolutely the best rusher in the league, but you have to have really a balanced attack, and you got to have a passing attack. So as we look at the coaching search, how do you implement, and that is absolutely vital. But I think exciting passing football, it's winning football.
Does it limit the head coach to just have an offensive emphasis, or obviously looking at a defensive guy if he has a good offensive plan with the right coordinator? Is it both on the table?
Absolutely.
When did you get the passion for ownership? You know, I grew up as a fan of the NFL. You grew up watching the NFL and became a fan of the NFL. But when did that moment hit you, say, I want to be an owner in the NFL?
Well, that hits you when you look at your bank balance and you, you know, and you paid all the bills, you got a few bucks left over. Yeah. Okay, so you say, you know, maybe I could be buying an NFL team. Okay, so, you know, then you kind of do the math and you say, well, okay, maybe next year. But eventually you get to the to a point where you say, you know, maybe I can do it. And
But I mean, there's a lot of other passions that money can be spent on. I mean, the NFL to me is the greatest sport in the world. It's the one sport that, you know, played it. I watched it growing up, and even though I'm done playing it, I still have a passion for it. Is that the same passion that you have with this sport? Is that why ownership became a on your bucket list, as you said, of owning an NFL franchise?
Absolutely. You know, you sit home watching a game, let's say Sunday, or as most of my friends know this, I mean, I watched Illinois football for 40 years, and I went to just about every game, and I said they ought to be doing this or that, and I'm so frustrated, I'm going to go buy an NFL team, okay? You can't buy a college team.
Some say you could.
Boone Pickens did.
You have the passion. If you have the ability, then, you know, you want to do it. Life is too short. Life is much better. I mean, we need money, obviously, put food on the table. But once you get beyond subsistence, if you can do what you love, you're going to be a lot better off. And for me, I got into, you know, auto parts. I really had success when I became passionate about it. And I couldn't drive down a road without checking out the bumpers. Okay, it's almost bizarre, and I had then, you know, we had young kids. They'd be checking out the bumpers, okay?
Front or rear?
Both, okay? And then you're wishing for, why don't they have four bumpers in a car, okay? That'd be more opportunity. So, you know, which led to running boards. You put those on the side and so on. So back to NFL, you got to have the passion, and quite frankly, this is also a business that has a very viable model, business model. It's been very well managed, the league, so, you know, when you go all in, it is something that you can sustain.
So what do you think of your quarterback?
I think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think he is our franchise quarterback. I think he needs development, and if you get on the game, I'm glad I'm not over there where he is, you know, how the pass rush comes. So I think we need to develop him. We want to give him tools, a dedicated coach, and I think he's going
to
be great.
Is he a central figure in the coaching search? I mean, do you have to get around the fact that he didn't have a good year, or is he a selling point having a young quarterback to a coach, or is he not involved at all? There are some, obviously, that want to make, so-and-so wouldn't want to go to Jacksonville because he doesn't like Blaine Gabbert. They've tried to make him a focal point. Is he?
No, he's not. But the reality is he's a quarterback. And I think a key question you have to ask any potential coach, what are you going to do to develop him? How do you make him the best he can be? And really, I mean, I've been asking them point blank, can you work with him? And so far, everybody says he's great.
During this process, what have you learned that you like about working with Gene Smith on this? What has he brought to you? How has he helped you?
He's been a tremendous, tremendous resource. I mean, he has done, 100% of the heavy lifting. His research has been amazing. He's thoroughly organized, got incredible sources. In this business, you got to have official as well as unofficial sources. He's very well plugged in. I think he's a huge asset to the Jaguars. And
he doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
He really doesn't sleep, it seems.
I know his car is here, so I don't know if he even leaves. Or maybe he's had it parked here, and he's got another one he drives back and home. I never met him till I showed up here. So, as a matter of fact, first time I met him was Irving when I was, approved. So I have really, tremendous respect for him, and I think he is absolutely a huge asset to this organization.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's take a break. We'll come back with our final segment of Jaguars This Week, first one-hour edition of the Out of Season, and we do it on Wednesday nights on Jaguars Radio. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We've got about 10 more minutes here on the Jaguars This Week on a Wednesday evening, along with Tony and John and Jeff and Joe. Mr. Khan is with us here. And, we've asked you about a lot of different concepts so far and things that you're doing. And obviously, this is day one. What's day two going to be like?
Day two, more of day one.
And day three.
So it's obviously coaching search.
A lot of people in Twitter have encountered your son, Tony. Is he down? First of all, your dad buys a football team. Well, talk about a dream come true, right? So what was his reaction today, and will he be involved? Will you find him down here?
He would like to be involved very much, and I think as we set up the organization, I think, I'll see what makes sense for him. This is very much, family business, so to speak, but it has to be a meritocracy, and it has to be something he can contribute. Being the owner's son, yes, has advantages, has disadvantages, too. So the worst thing I'd want to do is set him up for failure.
But it's good. People in Jacksonville have long known that Mr. Weaver was going to sell the team because his kids weren't interested in it. In terms of running it themselves. And so I think people are excited about the fact that it's a family business for you, and that has an opportunity to really carry through generations, potentially.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I told both of my kids, I said, if you sell this team after I'm dead, I'm going to haunt you forever.
As you changing gears a little bit, big picture NFL, you've obviously international, you've done international business. A lot of that is on the forefront of Commissioner Goodell of last number of years having games in London. And you've talked about building the brand, the Jaguar brand, not only here but all over, and how important that is, not only for the NFL, but why not us when it comes to the Jaguars about possibly playing overseas?
Absolutely. We have to expand the fan base. Jaguars have to expand the fan base. International is absolutely an opportunity for us. And it's a great opportunity for Jacksonville, not only getting the name out, but I think economic development. Just the time I've spent here, I think, you know, 20-some years ago, I was coming here 2-3 times a month, and it was mostly going down to Talleyrand Avenue, you know, being on Blunt Island. A couple of times, Bay Meadows, where Southeast Toyota offices were. Really didn't get to see the area. It's a beautiful area. And I think this is the kind of exposure money cannot buy. And one of the things we can do right, for example, Monday night games, you know, we were talking about that off air. The montage should be absolutely a Chamber of Commerce montage, mm-hmm. with the beaches, the golf courses, that's, you know, at dusk, basically, then on to some of the other shots.
This year it was old. Well, no, this year it was Charlotte's skyline.
It was, but I think both of those, quite frankly, they were horrible.
They
didn't show Jacksonville at its best.
Right.
So we have the opportunity to really show Jacksonville. And I think as Jaguars, we want to come up with what defines Jacksonville and show really its best attributes.
Do you think 2012 will hold an international game for the Jaguars? Will you lobby for that?
I will find out. You know, I'm going to be with the commissioner this Friday. And we didn't turn in the request. I think they were due before the transaction started in November. So I don't know the outcome. It's going to depend on the league, but I think definitely for the following years we're going to push. And in all candor, I'm going to see if there's anything we can do this year.
Right.
I think it'd be great for us.
Yeah, because it's been reported that Tampa Bay did not want to go back to London this year, and it would seem that there would be an opening right there.
Yeah, if that is true, yes.
Do you see, again, big picture NFL, not only London, but when the World League was NFL Europe was played, Germany was a hotbed and huge support in Germany. Do you see the NFL playing possibly not only in London but in other sites in Europe where the support is?
Absolutely. I think Germany, maybe because of the servicemen who were there, there's a huge really love for football.
You bet.
And what I was surprised, and I've spent quite a bit of time, obviously, from the auto side in Germany, that they show NFL. And really, their camera angles and their whole game experience is very different. It's much louder, and they like to show the action up close. So that is definitely a very passionate market, I think. And there are other markets. I mean, World Cup's going to be in Qatar, I believe. Absolutely excellent stadiums, very safe. They would have an appetite for something like this. But I think NFL is in London because of the Premier League model, that it's a natural transition, jump-off points for the fans out east, China, Asia, etc. So it's a great starting point, but I think it's just a point. There's a lot more to build on.
A lot of talent among the owners, and they sit on a lot of different committees. I think Mr. Weaver sat on the merchandising. What?
Business ventures.
Do you have any interest in the television or any particular committee as you expand your role with the other owners? Any of those committees? Any place seems fitting?
I'm going to see where I can contribute, and really it's going to be my approach is where can I contribute, not what committee I'd like to be in.
Sure.
I think I want to ask them where they think I can serve, and that's what I do.
I would have to think that in that particular area where you talked about internationally, I mean, your business with auto parts has carried you all across the world, and I would have to think that as an international contributor, that would be something that you could bring value to from the owner's standpoint.
I think I can, but you know, it's for the league to decide, obviously.
You know, when I grew up as an NFL fan, everybody had their teams, but most importantly, I think when you're a young fan of the NFL, you had a guy. Or guys that you really were fans of. Did you have players when you were younger that you used to just turn the TV on Sunday and you just couldn't wait to see? You know, for me, it was a Jack Lambert, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, the Washington Redskins, and watching Dave Butts and some of the old man gang or whatever with Allen,
the head coach,
George Allen. Did you have any players that you kind of followed in that nature when you were younger?
Well, Champaign, Illinois, obviously, it's the birthplace of the Bears. The connections, I mean, really, University of Illinois blood runs through the Bears, the same colors, the players, so there's a huge tradition. And so all the players, obviously, when I was watching Walter Payton, the 85 Super Bowl team, and a number of other, a lot of the great Illinois players, Red Grange, Dick Butkus, I mean, they played for Chicago. And so that was really the era.
Just a couple minutes left. And, you know, we were talking about the past. How about the future? You know, I mean, when you look at the league now, they are pushing the envelope in so many technological ways. You know, I mean, you can watch the Red Zone now on your phone. I see you on it, Loggy, all the time on the charter flight home. It's there are so many different ways for the league to take its product and go forward. Do you see a limitless potential? Do you see the potential maybe of going too far, of putting it in the hands of people who don't have to buy tickets necessarily?
No such thing as too much football. So absolutely, I see limitless potential. And really, this is a great thing because it's going to force us that the on-day game experience has to be so special that people want to come to it. And some of the newer stadiums, Dallas would be a great example. I mean, that was their benchmark. Why would somebody want to, you know, get out of their chair? You want to get them into a stadium where the experience is the next level up. So I think football is going to have, should have all the exposure it can, and then for us as owners, we have to have a game day experience that's a step above. That's our challenge.
You've been able to be here for how many games here in Jacksonville? A couple of them so far. Are there areas that you see that can be improved upon to better the fan experience for the people that are here at Everbank Field?
Everything can be improved, and certainly, I mean, we've got room for improvement.
Just about out of time here. 2 minutes left. So you're with the commissioner on Friday. Is he coming here to see you, or are you going to New York?
No, I'm going to New York.
Okay. Just standard, or got some ideas?
No, this was arranged maybe a week or so ago.
Okay. And when you look at, you know, the timeline here over the next couple of months, I'm not trying to pin you to it, but how long would you like it? How long until you have a coach, I guess, is where, because it seems like a lot of the things that come after that have to wait until that point. So people are listening wondering when you'll have a coach.
I think they'll be surprised with the speed.
Okay.
On the football field this weekend, big playoff weekend. You'll be watching the playoffs, and can you give us any picks?
Really, you know, I shouldn't be giving picks, but I think
well, that's a good enough reason to do it if you should be.
That's the fun part.
But you know, I'm going to be watching some of them because we're going to play a bunch of those teams next year.
Right.
So I think it's from a fan's perspective, just see what we're going to be in for.
We need to get some of those games on playoff weekend right here.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Where are you going to be?
I'll be in Houston. Houston, Cincinnati.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. We wish you nothing but the best of luck as you get started with this. And I know luck only plays a small part of it.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you next Wednesday night with more Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on Jaguars Radio.